Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips to the PC. It is Saturday, the 25th. Of June Anno Domini 2011, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And as you can tell, Steve Ray is still one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest.
He's doing a good job. I haven't seen any posters up.
No, he's doing a good job of evading them. He is. We're going to start with the news of the day. Do you remember? Oh, before I start, normally I write my own news. But I ran across this column from Robert X. Cringely, and most of it, it was so good, as most of his stuff is, that I borrowed whole swaths of it. So if it sounds familiar, it's
more of an homage.
It's an homage, exactly. Remember Yahoo? You know that search entertainment news portal Microsoft was so hot to buy, what, 10 years ago, was it? Yeah, them. They're back in the news again. No, it's not another massive company-wide reorg. The Yahoos are apparently in the market for video streaming sites again, and they have their eyes on Hulu. According to anonymous sources with knowledge of the matter, Yahoo just made an unsolicited offer to buy Hulu, according to the Los Angeles Times. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal says it doesn't know who's buying Hulu, but the video site with 27 million subscribers is definitely for sale. I admit that at first I was pleasantly surprised at how good Hulu was when it debuted back in October of 2007. Since then, though, it's really kind of gone downhill. It began when networks started bailing on the service and taking their shows with them. Hulu only managed to pull The Daily Show and The Colbert Report back into the fold by forking out big bucks for them. Even then, you can only view recent episodes of shows for a limited amount of time. Want to watch Joss Whedon's epic sci-fi series Firefly? And who wouldn't? You can get a measly 5 episodes at a time on Hulu. The entire 14-episode series is available on Netflix, $8 a month, instant queue. When Hulu rolled out its $8 a month plus subscription series, it actually got worse. The Roku interface is slow and annoying. Its search functions are anemic, and the shows Hulu Plus is clearly being paid to promote are the dregs of the dregs. It's also recently doubled the number of commercials you're forced to watch, which, of course, you can't fast-forward through. Ooh. Again, shows on Netflix, no commercials. No wonder Yahoo wants it. Remember Yahoo Live? Yeah, neither does anybody else. That real-time video streaming service launched back in February 2008 and was Yahoo dead by the following November. But here they go, trying it again, and pretty soon we'll all be watching Yahulu, I suppose. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Is do you watch Hulu? And your choices are all the time, once in a while. Oh, yeah, Hulu. And no, it would kill my monthly data allowance. Thank you.
Nice.
So far, we have 34 votes, and oh, yeah, Hulu is way ahead, followed by once in a while, followed by no, it would kill my monthly data allowance. Pay attention, Verizon. We'll be talking to you in a minute. When you're done with that, by the way, heaven knows you're going to have plenty else you want to say, so... you can do that fairly easily by taking a look at the yellow box underneath the poll. Click on that. It will take you to another website where you can enter your opinion. And I can't seem to get to that other website right at the moment, which is interesting. I don't know why.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Not a big deal. Everything is... something wrong with
the
wire?
We'll also figure out the webcam. I'm working on that now, so if you're waiting for that.
A little trouble with the network. Anyway, once you've put in your opinion, come on back and join us. Actually, you don't have to leave because you're listening to us on the radio. You can really do, those of you who can, in fact, do two things at once, should be able to. Now, I mentioned Verizon earlier, and I think we need to talk about that. Those of you who are Verizon customers, for several months, we've been hearing rumors that Verizon is going to go to a tiered data service. That is to say, you're going to have to actually pick a number of megabytes you get every month, and then if you go over that, you will pay more. It appears that they are, in fact, actually doing that. It appears that they are doing...
As they say, bend over and grab your ankles.
Yeah, that's what
they can choose to do whatever they want, and I can choose to take my dollars wherever I want to.
Yeah, well, and that's just it. It does look like what they are, in fact, going to do is tier, and they're saying that they have tiers from like 75 meg up to 10 gig, and you can pick which one you want, but you will then pay a premium for going over that. And what they say is individuals rarely go over 2 megabytes a month. That's probably true for somebody like Dave, who only looks at email and does some texting.
And downloads new ringtones.
And downloads new ringtones. But for people who...
Story coming.
Okay. But for people who do a lot of other stuff, particularly people who spend their lives in their social media things and live on their Androids with multiple applications that are updated every 4.5 minutes. It's a whole different story. And I think that what we're seeing is a... how to put this best? What we're seeing is a gap happening. You know, the people who don't pay much of anything for... who don't do much of anything with their phones will be fine with the various tiers.
Right.
But the people who do a lot...
And those are the people where Verizon makes most of their money, to be clear.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes,
they're,
it's
they're
true.
They're using the fewest amount of resources from Verizon, and they're handing over the largest amount of dollars for it.
Yeah.
As a ratio.
Yep. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And
the problem is people like, well, the people in the studio, well, you and I, Nick, we liberally make use of as much data as we can get because that's the kind of lifestyle we have. And
right.
And... from our point of view, we're getting a great deal because we're paying a flat fee and getting all the data we want. But from Verizon or from the ISP's point of view, we're the most expensive kind of customer they could possibly have.
Right.
And they've agreed to keep all their customers happy. And making us happy is more expensive for them than anybody else.
Right. So, and apparently, according to the rumors, and again, I don't actually know anything, but according to the rumors and according to the leaks that have happened, this is... all going to come down on July 7th. So those of you who are on Verizon, who have the opportunity to re-up your subscription before July 7th, can be grandfathered in for another 2 years of unlimited.
Well, that's why I'm looking around.
Well, I'll be doing it next week.
Well, I'm already doing it. And, you know, well, you and I have been going back and forth. And I was asking your opinion on certain things. And I'm looking at another company. And only because, like you say, Verizon, you know, they say, well, here's this, and you either get A or B.
Right.
You don't like it, go somewhere else. So because of that attitude, that's where I am looking, somewhere else.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I don't mind, yeah, and I understand, you know, all companies have to make a profit. But when you tell me, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I'm like, well, what are you going to do for me? No, you got to do this. You got to do this. No,
it's
wait a minute.
One way, doesn't it?
Yeah. What comes my way? Well, you get to get this phone. But what if I don't want all this? And, like, and if I do, what kind of break are you going to give me? You can have this. You can have this. And you can have this.
Here's what we offer.
And it's like, hello, are you actually listening? So I went to this other company, and they are listening, and they're saying, oh, well, you can do this. I can do this, and I can do this, and. Oh, we'll even save you some money.
Yep.
And it's like, huh?
Yeah.
That was nice to hear out of the mouth, you know, even something like that.
Competition's a wonderful thing.
But here's the other scary part. I hate to admit it.
You're getting a better phone.
Yep, and I'm going totally over to Nick's side.
See?
It was only a matter of time, really.
Did I not tell you you were going to do that?
Well, the thing that is, though, is they're making it so enticing and that I can do it. And still save money? Yeah, I mean, with that type of strategy, this company might get more to come because they're willing to work with people.
Right.
And, you know, say not everybody is this cookie cutter.
Right.
You know, this person is totally different from this one and this one and this one. Their needs are all different, and they can tailor something. And they were saying, oh, well, you can also get this discount. Like I say, this is what I was looking for at Verizon. And all I got was you can have this, 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 and this. Corporate.
Right. Yeah, right. Why?
Well, what they're saying is $10 a month for 75 megs of data, $30 for 2 gigs, $50 for 5 gigs, and $80 for 10 gigs. Now, again, that's a rumor. We don't know that that's true. AT&T, on the other hand, just really offers two plans, 200 meg for $15 or 2 gig for $25. So
what happens when
no, they're changing too.
Right, but right now I haven't really necessarily heard what their changes are going to be.
AT&T is changing up their plans.
Yeah. But that's something to pay attention to. Again, the interesting thing here is that dichotomy between what Google and the people who create apps want you to do.
Yep.
And Apple
right.
wants you to do, and what the phone companies want you to do. You know, what Apple and Google are saying over and over and over again is grab as much as you can. Here's all your apps. Do everything out of your phone. You never have to use a computer again. This is your device. Here you go. Knock yourself silly.
Because that's what they're selling.
And they're
selling the devices, and the people who are selling the bandwidth are like, well, yeah, you could do all that, but, you know, make sure to keep handing us some dollars while you're doing
it. Right. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting dichotomy. It's going to be an interesting challenge for them. It's going to be interesting to see what people do, how many people really jump ship.
Mm-hmm.
The Sprint CEO has said over and over again he will never cap. Now, cap is not the same as tier.
True.
But he did say he would never cap.
Right.
So I'm not sure what that all means in the long run, but we'll see, I guess. And here in Rochester, really, it's Mox Nix. All of the coverages are real good.
Way to work in the German there.
Thank you.
George, you'd be proud.
Is George listening? I hope so.
Ausgezeichnet.
Hello.
Gesundheit. But the only German I actually know, and I've told this to George, is Warum bist du morgen gesund, which apparently means why are you
healthy
tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah.
How did that come up in conversation?
It's really the only German I know, so it comes up in conversation anytime I speak German with someone.
Very short conversation,
Short conversation, usually ending with a weird look from them, and they walk away, which is kind of what I'm hoping for because I don't speak German. But
Mox Nix, you were saying.
I said, yeah, it was in Mox Nix in terms of coverage, because AT&T, Sprint, and Verizon, the big three, I haven't really looked at the T-Mobile or any of the others yet, but their coverages for Rochester
AT&T has really boosted theirs. I was looking at
it
their
map. It used to be several years ago, I would be going down from work in the elevator in my office, and I could be on the phone, and one of my minions who had an iPhone on AT&T would be swearing at me because he's got no bars.
Grumble.
Exactly, no bars at all. Now he does. AT&T has dramatically increased the number of and the power of their towers. But back in the day, you could always tell the iPhone users because you would see like a flock. It was like birds flocking to one corner of the building where they could get a signal.
Right.
It was really kind of funny. Or people outside who weren't smoking in the winter. They were trying for a signal somewhere.
I remember that well.
Yep. Yes, you do. But that's mostly gone now. I mean, that really is no longer the case. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Our first caller is Gary from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
I called last week when your phones blew up.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, welcome back.
I bought a new Toshiba laptop, and that has Windows 7. My wife has Vista, and I have a desktop that has XP. And my printer is on my desk, hooked up with my desktop, but I cannot print from either laptop. What am I doing wrong?
I don't know right off the top of my head. First thing you have to do is make sure that you have shared the printer.
Yes.
Wait, was it working originally? Let's step back. Was it originally working?
It was working with my wife's laptop, which is a Vista.
Okay.
And I had purchased a new laptop, and it has Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if there was any updates in the last week or two. And all of a sudden, she can't print from hers. I can't. I've never been able to print from mine.
Well, what changed on hers?
Fine. Nothing, unless there was some Windows update.
Yeah.
And I went through, and it's all shared.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the printer. When you hit Find Printer, it's there.
So when you do it in the Windows 7 machine and have it search the network for the printer, does it find it there?
Yes.
And does it allow you to put it into the device manager that, you know, when you click on available printers, it shows up as an icon and it's your default?
Yes.
And can you do a test page from there?
When you hit test page, it comes up, it appears that it's starting to print.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just says one document in queue.
Yeah, which means it's not getting to the...
Yeah, it's not.
It sounds like the problem is on the XP device.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have a firewall set up on, do you, by mistake?
No.
The Windows firewall by default turns on?
Yes. Yes, it's on. And everything worked fine 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wait a minute. You said the Windows firewall is on?
No. I'm sorry. Okay. I'd have to check that for sure, but I'm not at home. I'm in my car right now.
Okay.
Right. And so I should check to see if the firewall is on.
Yeah, see if the firewall is on because, I mean...
On the XP machine.
Yeah.
Just the XP machine.
Yeah.
So. Well, all of them, but definitely don't miss the XP machine.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that could be blocking it. But, I mean... Vista, yeah, if she had... I doubt if it's done any updates. They haven't been updating Vista... They quit doing that long before they stopped doing Windows XP. I mean, Windows XP just had, a few months ago, the final update, whereas Vista, they gave up on last year.
Yeah, right.
So they haven't been doing anything there. The only other thing I could think of is, have you tried? Oh, wait a minute. Here's the other thing. Your new Windows 7 machine.
Yes.
Is that 64-bit or 32-bit?
64.
You might have to go look for 64-bit drivers for that machine.
That wouldn't have changed the Vista machine, though.
No. I'm just saying I'm working backwards here to the Windows 7, because I'm assuming the one that it's hooked up to, the printer that it's hooked up to, it's printing from there fine.
Yes, no problem at all.
All right, so now I'm trying to at least work around to the Windows 7 machine. The Windows 7 machine, because Windows XP is 32-bit, and you've got a 64-bit machine.
Right, which I did that already. I went to the...
And you went to the website and got the 64-bit printer?
Yes.
And the 32? I mean, you might have to toggle...
You might have to click them both.
I would try both.
Well, let's do this first. Before we start fooling around with the XP, with the 7 machine, let's get the Vista machine working again, because we know that was working.
Right.
Because right now we know there's a block at the XP machine somehow.
Okay.
And so if we get the Vista machine working, then we know that anything wrong with printing from the Windows 7 machine is at the Windows 7 machine.
On the Vista, does it by chance at all say that it might be offline?
No. It does exactly the same thing from either the Vista or the 7 machine. Where
it says it's printing, but it doesn't.
When you click on the little icon, you can see what's printing.
Yeah.
It does the status, and then you see it starts to print, and then it doesn't.
All right, you got to hold on. Hold on the line. We'll be back to you in a couple of minutes. We're going to take a quick break. Back with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, Gary from Rochester, and you. It is 21 minutes after the hour. We're Sound Bites on the truly great member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And 25 minutes after the hour, chicken, we are Sound Bites. And we had Gary on the phone. Now we're back to last week's phone things.
Now you're doing a call back to last week?
No, all I did was pot him down, and he must have hung up.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Feel free to call
back. That's okay. But really what you want to do is check the XP machine, Make sure that there's no firewall.
Yep.
Make sure, take a look at the queue on that XP machine.
Right.
The printer queue on the XP machine. You may have a bunch of things lined up waiting to be released. Like if the first thing wouldn't release,
right.
Sometimes XP is supposed to move everything else up past it. But sometimes it does not. And so that's the first thing to check. All right. Our next caller, Vic from Irondequoy. Welcome, Vic. What's your question?
Nick, I have a Windows 7 computer running 64-bit, and I have an HP printer. I have no problem printing in Firefox 3.6.18. I went to 4. I couldn't print, so I went back to the 3.6.18. Now they got Firefox 5.
Right.
Now, if I download it and I can't print, is there anything like in the printer's property that can be changed or... Can I go back to the Windows, or can I go back to Firefox 3?
Everybody is had trouble with 4.
Okay.
Everybody. It's mm-hmm. not you, it's not your machine, it's not your printer.
Just bad.
It was Firefox. It was junk.
Oh, yeah.
The technical term.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
But 5 is supposed to be better. And I say supposed to be better, and... That's really all I know about it right now.
Well, if they want to wait, I am downloading and putting 5 on one of my test benches machines as I speak on Sunday. I want to try it out just for the heck of it. If it blows up the machine, I don't care. You know, it's a test bench machine. It can. I can just put back an image. So if you folks want to wait, I will have a report, though, for you next week on what I think of 5. And how stable it is, because as you know, in my shop, we test it with a lot of different equipment and everything else, and I'm willing to sacrifice a machine for it. What the heck?
So
it's
maybe,
fun.
Maybe
it's...
your best bet is to wait at least a week.
Right. Okay, no problem.
All right?
I have one other thing. Now, sure. Dave, if I can't listen to the show, let's just say something, I'm working next Saturday.
Yeah?
How would I mean, can I call the shop, or don't you look?
You can call the shop, or you know what we do? We have it up there on the internet that you can sit there and listen to it. Previous shows.
You can download podcasts.
Yeah.
You can stream it online. You can put it on your MP3 listening device.
Yeah. We give you many options, but if that isn't, give me a call.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks. It is. We do try to provide as many possible ways to enjoy this show as humanly possible.
That's right.
I know several people who say they listen while jogging. I'm surprised that every once in a while they don't just trip and fall, but oddly they don't. We got Gary back. Welcome back, Gary.
Thanks.
Sure.
I did clear all the documents out of either
the queue.
Either machines out of the queue. So
by either machine, what do you mean by either machine? Which two machines?
The Vista machine.
Yeah.
When it said document, you know, I'd click it again, then there'd be another one, and then another one, and I cleared them all the documents out.
Yes.
And you go back to where there are none, go to print something, and it won't print.
All right, but did you clear the queue on the XP device, on the XP system?
No, because I was trying to print from the Vista machine.
Right, but my point is that the machine may not... There may be something stuck in a queue on the XP machine.
Okay, so I'll try that. Well, thank you.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know what else to say.
You figured that or a firewall was up?
The firewall. Like I say, we've given you a few things to try out. That's the best we can offer right now. Not being in front of the machine, it makes it a little hard.
Yeah, generally we say start as close as you can to the problem. So if the problem is printing, start with the machine that's directly connected to the printer. Try and print something.
And that's the thing. You know, we don't want to try to give you too many things to do because then...
And then if that works fine, then
we're doing some of the stuff. It's like, what did I do last? Or where was it last?
Yeah, because if you can actually find the printer and actually set it as your default printer and begin to print something, what it sounds like is it's simply not getting from the one machine to the other machine. But I'd make sure that the other machine is cleaned up before I moved on.
Okay.
All right?
All right, well, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
Yeah, printing is one of those things that can get really tricky really fast, especially the more machines you try and add to the sharing environment.
The more I think about it, I think he doesn't want the 64-bit because it is a 64-bit machine. He's got to get the 32-bit driver. He might want to uninstall it using Revo, uninstall the printer, get the 32-bit driver, have it install it with the 32-bit, have it say that it's out on the network, find it out on the network, and try it that way. Because, yeah, even with the 64-bit, if I remember correctly, it will put it in the queue, but it doesn't know how to talk to it.
But see, I'm not arguing with you about that.
I'm just saying it's another thing to try.
But before he does that, he's got to get the printing that was working working again.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he'll never know where the problem lies.
That's the whole trouble with Windows Vista.
Well, exactly.
And you know, that was a can of worms.
What would be the easiest thing to do is to buy a network print server.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. And just put it right on his network.
Yeah, true.
And then never worry about it again.
Put it, give it its own device or IP address, and
print to it there, because that should work no matter what you do.
Did he say that those other machines, the Vista and the Windows 7, were all connected with cabling, or were they Wi-Fi? Or
no, he said
he didn't say.
No, that's right, he didn't.
I'm wondering if there might be a bridge issue. You know, if the
the
Vista machine took the bridge. Oh, thank you very much.
All right, he sees it and he can install it as the printer. He can make it the default. And he can print to it. It gets into the queue, but it doesn't go over to the other machine. So it's finding it. So
the print jobs themselves aren't going
right. So my original thought was it's a different work group name or whatever. But
right.
Clearly, it's not, because he found the printer.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely certain.
That's all trouble with
where
Vista.
That stands.
Amazing. Vista is so nasty.
Yeah, it is.
Printing can get so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it
mucked up in a hurry.
It's almost back to the old days, and I know Nick, you'll remember this, SCSI.
Who didn't SCSI love SCSI?
The Voodoo.
Sure. Yeah.
Trying to get things on the chain and get them all working. They called it SCSI Magic.
SCSI Voodoo.
Voodoo Magic.
SCSI stands for Small Computer Systems Interface. There was a movement among Apple people to rename it Sexy as opposed to SCSI.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
We used to joke,
using it was a kind of a SCSI thing, because it was never easy to do.
We used to joke that Macs were always SCSI on the outside, GUI on the inside.
Exactly.
Oh, I can remember one. Oh, we were. I was working out at the Myers Community Hospital, and they had a Mac out there. It was the only one. And we were sitting there trying to get this whole daisy chain of SCSI devices, because you could do 8 items.
Right.
And we had 7.
15, I think.
Well, SCSI 2.
Yeah, SCSI 2. But this, and we were for at least 4 or 5 hours fighting with this, fighting. What the heck? It was a stupid dead ender.
Terminator.
The
absolutely.
Terminator at the
always
end.
Always the Terminator.
You know how you put the Terminator in?
Yeah.
We looked at it, and we kept looking at it. But what we did notice, because we were kind of looking over and it was dark behind there.
Pin was bent?
No, it was in there.
But not tight.
It wasn't tight. It was at the slightest angle.
Uh-huh.
Some of the resistors weren't making contact.
So it was enough. The minute we slapped it in, it's like, bam, it came up. And we're going, oh, how dumb do we feel?
Yeah, you used words you wouldn't use on the radio.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like about USB.
Yes.
Once you actually plug something in, and as Steve always said, there's 3 ways to plug it in. You try to plug it in one way, it doesn't fit.
Right.
You turn it over, it doesn't fit.
Right.
You turn it back over, and then it fits.
Then it fits, yeah. That's a 3-way connector.
It's very true. And
it's a standard.
But once you do that, unless the thing has broken, I bought a TARDIS USB hub from Woot. It worked for about an hour, and then it died.
Yeah.
All right. Our next caller is Gil from Webster, New York. Welcome, Gil. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I was lost in hyperspace, and I think I've been in an alternate universe since the phones last week. But
I think you're right.
I have recovered somehow and popped back into the normal universe.
Welcome back.
With my question. So I have a friend.
Here we go.
No, it isn't me. I've got a friend. Wink, wink, nudge, wink. Nudge.
No, he's still my friend because I installed Ubuntu on his laptop for him.
Ooh.
By request?
I'm sorry?
By request? Or is this like a prank? Or?
Well, let's say it was about him.
Hey.
You ought to really try this and so forth.
Okay.
By the way, Nick says it's good. So.
It's all his fault.
So you're now part
of
the problem, you see.
Yeah, right, now it's my problem.
But I also use Ubuntu, and anyway, I convinced him that it was a good idea to install it. So his laptop, in the meantime, after a year or so, has run out of space. And he appealed to me to uninstall Ubuntu. Now, I installed it with Windows as a dual boot. And I believe Ubuntu, if I can recall, more than a week ago, it was probably in it. Ubuntu installed Grub. And so what I was looking for was, do you have any advice about removing Ubuntu and or Grub, or just leaving it so that Windows is the remaining operating system? I don't think he cares if I lose Ubuntu, but Grub may or may not care.
Well, if you're going to uninstall Ubuntu, you're really going to be losing it. Well, first, make sure everything's backed up.
Yep. Yes, above all.
That's thing one. The next thing you want to do, and you can do all of this, the next set of steps from Windows. Right, because if you look in the Windows computer management, is this Windows 7 or what?
No, it's Windows XP.
That's harder. Yeah. But you should be able to get into the partition manager.
Yep.
And you should be able to see those Linux partitions.
Indeed, you can.
You can remove. Let me think about this. You can remove all of those things. Yes. You remove all of those partitions.
Okay.
You then need your Windows CD or DVD because you now have to restore the master boot record.
Well, what if I leave? Can I leave Grub and let it boot Windows and just simply remove Ubuntu from the Grub thing? I see various things that I could do. I just thought I'd bounce them off of you to see whether
can do that, but that doesn't remove the partition.
I can remove the partition. If I remove Ubuntu from Grub, it wouldn't know about it anymore. And then, you know, go into Windows, remove the partition, and then expand the partition.
But
of
if
Windows.
You remove Ubuntu, how do you boot into Grub?
Well, I thought Grub is...
Well, no, that's right. Yeah, you can't remove it. It's still on the slash boot partition. I mean, you got to leave that one.
I've got to leave that. That's what I think. So that's what I'm looking for, this magic that I, you know, do I have to face the moon or do I face whatever?
Well, I would do it the way I suggest. It really, then you're done forever. What you do is, well, the first thing you probably want to do is get rid of all this guy's temp files and all the junk that he's got in there anyway.
Sure.
But if he really wants Ubuntu gone, the easiest way to do it is, as I said, go into the device manager and get rid of all the partitions. Then go into system recovery off the Windows CD.
Yep.
Open a command prompt. Open a command prompt and type the following two commands. Bootrec, which is all one word, BOOTREC, / fix MBR. So that's boot record, fix master boot record.
Yep.
Followed by bootrec / fix boot.
Okay.
If it's an XP machine, hold on. Wait, no, that's for Windows 7. For XP, all you do is go into that command prompt and type fix MBR, which is just a command.
Okay. So erase all of that. Basically, I go into recovery and I type 6MBR.
Yeah, after you've erased the partitions,
yep.
Boot your XP CD, go into the recovery console, go to command prompt, type fix MBR.
Okay, and that will basically remove, Grub will be removed, Ubuntu will be removed.
And you've got a plain old Windows machine again.
Yes, which is good but bad.
Exactly.
Thank you, guys. Keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you.
Don't let Dave rearrange the phones again. So.
I won't. Back in just a minute. Back in just a minute with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 40 minutes after the hour, member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites.
All right. Go ahead.
And
time for some more news?
Yeah, well, you got to love this one. Nevada is now the first state in the United States to legalize driverless autonomous cars, or as we think of them, robocars.
And before this, it was illegal?
It was illegal to have a car that with no driver. Nevada Assembly Bill number 551 was passed on Thursday, authorizing the Department of Transportation to draft a new set of regulations and rules governing self-driving vehicles. But before you get to soldering microcontrollers to your steering wheel, the Nevada DOT will first need to draft up the legal framework. Robotic vehicles can only take to the road if they are deemed street legal after meeting requirements including performance standards and licensing measurements. The Nevada government is also designating autonomous vehicle driving areas.
Yeah, like wherever I'm not.
Exactly. Last month, Google lobbied the desert state to allow for autonomous vehicles, which probably had something to do with its fleet of self-driving cars that have already logged 140,000 miles. This is a big step to automated travel in the hyperspeed, robotically controlled highways of the future. Google, get off of this stuff and get on getting me free wireless. Who's the better driver, a human or a robot? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415, just like Bodan did from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bodan. What's your question?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. I got a question for your opinion. At work, my employer gave me a new work computer. It's an Acer Veritron brand, and I just want to get your opinion as far as if I'll give you the specs on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you gentlemen think the... you know, as far as the performance of this computer is. It's an Intel Core 2 quad processor. It's running Windows 7 Pro with Service Pack 1, and it has 4 gigabytes of RAM memory, operating 64-bit operating system.
Well,
on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give that, Nick?
Up until you said Windows, I was going to give it a 9.
All right, all right.
No. That's a pretty... That should
solid.
Be a well, it depends on a couple of things.
Yeah.
It depends on the speed and sizes of the hard drive and what motherboard it uses and yada, yada, yada.
Well, I can give you that. There's also, it says, which is familiar with.
Hello?
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 His phone is cut. No.
His phone cut out.
Man. That's unfortunate.
That was him that time. Dave wasn't even touching any of the buttons.
You got the webcam right
what
there.
One of the other thing that I was going to suggest to him, whether it's got onboard graphics or whether it's got its own dedicated graphics.
Right. Dedicated graphics will make it faster. Onboard graphics,
because
not
that's
so
going to take, if it's got onboard graphics, it's going to take from that 4 gig, and then that's where I take that 4 gig and bump it up to 8 gig because it is Windows 64-bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Or a discrete video card.
If you can swing the extra, what is it, $60, Dave?
It's a laptop, though.
Oh, that's a laptop.
I do believe he said it was a laptop.
Yeah, you might have been right.
Kind of stuck there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, Dave, what do you think about the specs in general?
Otherwise, yeah, no, it was a decent machine. You know,
solid.
I like, you know, it's going to have a standard DVD burner in it, which, you know, is fine. The built-in, you know, FireWire or USB ports, you know, you all USB 2s. And, you know, again, graphics is the biggest thing.
Right.
For you performance. Know, that's where I get, you know, graphics and memory. Because if it's got its own dedicated graphics card, you win there, which more and more of them are going to.
Yeah, more laptops are headed that way.
Yeah, and to be able to have, like I say, for Windows 7, 64-bit, memory is so inexpensive, I'd go 8 gig.
Max it out as soon as you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to use it. Unlike the old Windows XP and all that, which you were limited to 3 gig, I mean, you could put 4 gig and everything else in it, and it just
it
doesn't see it. Yeah, and you can't utilize it. Whereas with Windows 7 64-bit, one, you're getting better speed out of the machine, you know, the software and everything else, if it's been written for 64-bit. Like I say, the 8 gig, it's going to utilize all 8 gig.
Yeah. It is a desktop
machine. It's a win-win all the way.
It's a Veritron, and so it's a desktop machine.
Oh, okay.
But even so, it depends on what motherboard is in it as to whether or not it has discrete or built-in graphics. And so, Bodan, I don't know what happened to your phone, but the fact is that if you've got
I'm getting dial tone,
discrete
so.
Graphics, you should have a pretty nice machine there. If it's got
and if it's got built in, it, like I said, it's only a matter
RAM.
Of 60 or 70
if Bodan would just for the heck of it try calling back in, because I did have another person here on hold, and for some reason they're gone.
Right.
And I know they
were. May not have been Bodan.
They
might
were
have been his phone system.
They were having phone issues here, so we apologize if it was at our end. Yeah. If not, oh well.
Oh well. But yeah, so in general,
yeah.
There's really, I've said this for decades. There's always a bottleneck in the system, and the question is,
where you put it?
Where do you put it? Where do you move it to?
You move it to the most expensive one it is to bump.
Right, to fix, right. So if what you're looking for is a really good end user experience, you want the fastest graphics card you can have, you want it to be discrete graphics, you want a high-end processor, you want lots of RAM, and that leaves the hard drive to be the unknown element.
Yeah, well, I mean, most hard drives now, standard, I'm putting 1 terabyte.
Yeah. Right.
It's ridiculous not to.
Yeah.
For desktop machines, specs are really important, but I also have to consider a couple of other things. My clients, I always try and make sure that they're sitting in front of a monitor that they love, that they're touching a keyboard that they absolutely love, and a mouse that they love, because those are the three places where the person meets the computer.
And isn't that the place where everybody skimps?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I could buy a $50 monitor.
I could get that mouse for $6.
Yeah, exactly. But, whereas that's the thing. And then they complain. In 2 years, they start complaining about carpal tunnel, and they start complaining about everything else. No.
The thing of it is, those are the things that you can detach from your computer and bring to your next computer. Like all the specs.
That's exactly
those
right.
are going to change over the years. They're going to get better and better. And you can unplug these things that you love and connect them to your next machine and be ready to go.
Yeah.
And your fingers and muscles don't know any different.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, biggest monitor you can stand, and best keyboard and best mouse.
Yep.
I remember, what was it? I think it was...
It doesn't have to be the biggest, but it has to be the best.
Well, it has to be the one you're most comfortable with.
Right, right.
More than anything else.
Talking about keyboards, I think it was a Photonic.
Sure.
Yeah, I had a client, this guy at Kodak, this is going back a number of years. He was a two-finger typer.
Okay.
Sure.
And he would sit there.
Tappa, tappa.
And you could hear him tapping down the aisle because we had these cubicles.
He was typing through the keyboard?
He was just about, I think the impression of the keys was even down on his desk.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept breaking keyboards. And all of a sudden, I'll never forget this. One night we were working, we were coding. And he goes, son of a bitch! And all of a sudden I hear this keyboard, and he goes, wham, he just grabbed the keyboard and went against the wall. You see all these keys flying all over. Goes, I need a decent keyboard. Well, we happen to have this Photonics that we ordered for this one another guy, and he didn't like it. Says, no, he didn't like the mushiness in that oven. Well, I gave it to Wayne. He loved it.
Yeah, everybody's different.
I mean, after I left, like you say, he even took that when we upgraded the computers. He's, I'm not giving up this keyboard.
And he holds it close to his chest. You can pry it out of my fingers.
He loved it. I mean, he could sit there and pound on it, and you knew when Wayne was working because you could hear him pounding away, but he was happier than all get out.
Good.
And that keyboard, though, could really take a whipping because some folks like to click, some like a mushy, some like a light touch.
Yeah,
well,
some
the
like
traditional
a lot of key
IBM keyboard clicked. And that's because it simulated...
Yeah, the Model M.
It simulated a typewriter, frankly.
Yeah.
Right? But as time has gone on, people have different ways they prefer. Most keyboards are mushier now.
Yep, they've got essentially like a little rubber dome underneath each key.
And I don't necessarily know
that
they
use that instead
that's
of a spring. Well, a lot of places, they have these fancy designer keyboards that use the actual, still the mechanical switches underneath. And you can still buy them, but they're really expensive. It became less expensive to develop the ones with the rubber underneath, and those were used
by better,
laptops.
I mean in terms of haptic feedback to your fingers.
Oh, yeah.
And carpal tunnel.
Possibly. I noticed that there's a lot of difference in travel, keyboard travel. For instance, we've got a machine here in the studio that's got a more traditional USB keyboard for desktop machines, and the amount that you have to press a key in order to get it to register is a longer distance than, for instance, on your netbook, Nick, where you only have to press it maybe a few millimeters to get it to trigger.
Right.
And there's a gigantic,
Well, and then there's the other
spectrum.
The other problem really is the spacing between the keys.
Sure.
This netbook is just a little tight.
Yeah.
I personally prefer the Wave keyboards, the ones where it's split in the middle and the
the
hands.
It takes up most of your desk.
It takes up most of your desk, but in terms of being able to type on it all day, even though I have carpal tunnel, it's a beautiful thing.
Sure. Yeah, those are good. I noticed that all of Apple's stuff seems to be using the same layout for just about everything. They use the same layout on all their laptops and all their desktop machines, too.
Yep.
And even exactly the iPad uses the same spacing, which is incredible.
Yeah, it does. I cannot get myself to like the keyboard on the iPad.
I use it when I have to, but recently, last month, I bought a Bluetooth keyboard to use with it, and it's fantastic. I recommend it to everybody who does any amount of typing.
Well, the problem you have with Bluetooth keyboards, of course, is security.
Security and battery life. You got to
battery life
on
is
that,
bad, but security is important. I have a Zag keyboard where you can actually fit the iPad into the keyboard and it becomes a single unit.
I know the one.
And I'm very careful what I do on it because it would be possible for anybody, because you can just download from anywhere the sniffers.
Sure.
It would be possible for anybody to start sniffing my keyboard and knowing what I'm typing. So if I go type
or
a password. Or eating for lunch. Or so if I type a password somewhere, they can get it. All right. I think we have time. Do we have time?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have time for Jim from Moronicoy. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
The computer I have messed up about a week ago, so I've been trying to figure out what's going on. It's either the motherboard or the CPU.
Well, describe the symptoms.
I replaced the motherboard, and now it's not even going as far as it was. What? Let me ask you this. If it's powering up to the point where the CPU fan comes on for a few seconds, then it shuts off. Then it comes on and shuts off.
Okay.
That's more likely the power supply than it is anything else.
Or
it seems to have the voltages for the power supply check out okay.
Or what I've run into is you make sure your CPU fan, the connectors on that, haven't broken off. In other words, what I mean...
No, those are good.
Mount, so it's holding it tight? It's not overheating?
No, it doesn't. That was the original problem, was the power supply fan overheated, and I think it wiped out. Initially, it was doing a double beep on power up, which is something to do with a parity.
Right,
and,
right.
What it actually said in the, I checked on the computer, you know, online somewhere, and it said something about that motherboard. It was probably the RAM chip.
Yeah, the DMA. The DMA is probably shot or questionable on that machine. And my bottom, what I would say, I wouldn't go any further with it. You know, how old is the machine?
About 2 years, 2.5, 3 years.
Unfortunately, you know, you might just have to bite the bullet and get a different motherboard or look at a different system.
See, that's just it. I already got another motherboard, but it was supposedly used, but it was supposedly good.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not even going to that point. So, you know, now it's doing the thing with
Try this before you go any farther.
Mm-hmm.
Unplug everything and turn the machine on. And see if you, in fact, get the same problem, in which case you know it's the power supply.
Yeah.
Right? If everything else is unplugged and it still happens, it's a power supply. If not, plug in one thing, the motherboard. Try it again. Then plug in your hard drives. Try it again.
It's the good old scientific method.
The one issue, though, and some of them, the power supply won't always turn on if it's not hooked up to the motherboard.
Depending on what brand it is, you might try that. The other thing is, if you replace the motherboard but kept the RAM, and the problem was the RAM, you've still got the problem.
You've got to isolate these as much
already,
as you can.
I mean, you might have to have a diagnostics done on it.
Yeah.
Anyway. And, you know, the reality is, if you're doing this because you enjoy doing it, that's one thing. But if you need this machine for anything, bite the bullet and go.
No, I enjoy doing it, but I don't enjoy spending money after money after money.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's the thing. You know, I mean, a diagnostic is, you know, usually a low flat fee.
Yeah.
And you can then decide from there whether you want to put additional money into it or just say, it's time to cut bait and get a new machine.
Yeah, that's the deal. All right.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for the info.
Yep. Sure.
All right. Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's, you know, I keep saying time and time again, I keep saying the big difference between a repair shop and an individual is the repair shops have more stuff they can swap in and out and do stuff with.
Right.
Do we have time to talk to Bodan, or do we have to go?
Yeah, we got about a minute if we want to just hear his question.
All right, minute. Go for it, Bodan.
Yes, anyway, that Acer Veritron actually is a desktop. It's a PC. It is not a laptop. Yeah. And there's one question I was going to have is, after I looked at the specs of the Intel Core 2 Quad CPU, it said this, Q8400 at 266 gigahertz / 267 gigahertz. I'm not exactly sure what that means, and I was hoping maybe one of you guys could
explain.
Say it again. And in... let me know if that's good or bad or whatever.
Yeah, say it again, please.
Q8400 at
2.66 gigahertz, and then there's also a 2.67 gigahertz.
Q8400.
And does it have its own graphics card, or is it on board?
I don't know. That I don't know.
Oh, that's the processor. It's the name of the processor.
Yeah.
It's the Q84. It's the quad 2 Q8400 processor.
So, oh.
4 meg cache, 2.66 gigahertz, 1333 front side bus.
All right. It's a perfectly reasonable
machine. Yeah. The way you can tell if it's onboard graphics or not is if it's the video is hooked up to a slot on the back of it,
uh-huh.
and it's going, say, vertical as opposed to horizontal. Then, you know, it's probably on board. If it's horizontal, in other words, near the other connectors, the USB ports and all that, it's onboard graphics. But if it takes up one of those slots...
No, right. It does not. I don't believe there's anything else. The stuff that's hooked up to it, I know what's hooked up to it, more or less.
Yeah, because if you look at the back, and if it's the video connector is hooked up to a slot, you know, that goes up and down.
An expansion
slot. Yeah, an expansion slot.
On the other hand, if you're not going to be doing a lot of video things with it, that doesn't matter as much as... the other stuff, if you're mainly using it for work things and not really worried about, you know, a lot of Hulu and YouTube.
But 4 gigabytes of memory for Windows Pro 7
should be enough, depending on how much is being taken by the graphics processor.
Okay.
Certainly it doesn't hurt to have more. What that means is you spend less time switching between programs. With 8 gig, you spend less time switching between programs because they stay in memory as opposed to being swapped out.
Gotcha.
All right, got to take
a
break.
You.
Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 1 p.m. You've wasted an entire hour of your life listening to this show, but we're going to give you the chance to do it again because we know you can't learn. Back in just a couple of minutes with the longest-running computer show in the known universe, we are Soundbites right here on the wonderful, member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of Soundbites.
And who's the young lady?
Member-supported Jazz 90.1. Who is the young lady?
Well, that's my daughter, Katrina.
Hi, Katrina.
Joining. She's finally out of school. You know, she goes to school in Henrietta, and they got out this week. So I said, hey, do you want to tag along to come see the show?
And she said nobody dragged her here anyway.
she shrugged her shoulders and said, yeah, all right, I check it out. So here we are.
Get her on the air one way or the other.
She's not quite ready this week, but I think she could be convinced to once she gets more comfortable.
Yeah, oh yeah, it just takes a little getting used to, and it can be intimidating at times. But
never forget, on this show, they don't know the answers out there. That's why they're asking us. We can pretty much say anything we want, and our job is just get them off the phone. Yeah, try this. Bye-bye.
They're gone.
Sometimes there's a little more to it than that. But
I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? That's the secret of radio.
See that red light? It says we're on the
hit
air.
Hit the dump. Dump.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones and give a wrong answer to Steve from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Thanks. I called a couple weeks ago, and Dave responded to this one. This was the one where I subscribed to a website for guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and having the same problem. The video just keeps stuttering, starting, stopping, and the folks at their sites seem to think it's a problem at my end. But the thing is that there's a forum on the site, and there are other people having the same problem as I am, but not everybody. People are getting it, and they have the same.
Do you have your radio on?
What's that?
Do you have your radio on?
No, I don't.
We're getting a kind of an echo thing here.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I don't. Is that better?
Yeah, it's a little bit. Go ahead.
So you're saying the Flash video doesn't play smoothly?
Yeah, and I downloaded the latest version of Flash Player at the suggestion of the folks at the site. I have two machines. I've got a MacBook Pro, and I've got a Windows machine. And I tried both Safari... Running the site on Safari and Firefox 4, and the same thing happens on both machines. So it just stutters and stops, and Dave suggested I download that VLC, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I tried that, and I think the only reason that probably didn't work because I didn't know what the hell to do once I downloaded it, you know. It's the same thing, and I can't solve the problem.
Yeah, here's the thing with their program that I can go on and give you a little more insight. Because when you click on it, all right, say you're viewing this video, this video.
Yep.
All right, what you do is up in the usually upper left-hand corner, you're going to see these three balls, and they're rotating.
Yep.
You click on that, this menu comes down, and it'll be the name of the video that's playing right now.
Okay.
What you do is click on it, and you can what I do is have it save it to the desktop. And
okay,
it'll take a look.
Am I going to be running VLC before? Do I run it I log on to this site?
Normally, no. When you open up your browser, VLC is already up there. If you installed it, it's already on the toolbar.
Okay, I see.
And it's running. So once you got this video playing, what I do is I click on it and I have it save this video to my desktop. Because, even in my case, I get some YouTube videos that I want to watch, but they're so choppy. And it just drives me nuts to spend 15 minutes of it starting, stopping, starting.
That's exactly what it does.
So what I do is I just use this VLC, and I have it save it to my desktop. Once it's done, then there's this icon on my desktop of that video. So now I can just click on it, and I can let it play it along, stop it at any time I want. It's very smooth, and especially with some of these guitar lessons.
Yeah,
it makes it so great because all of a sudden I missed. Oh, how is he playing this particular fret sequence?
So
I can
VLC,
back it up.
VLC smooths it out when it records it. Doesn't
no? What I'm saying
it
is,
VLC is a download. It downloads, it captures that YouTube or whatever that video is, and puts it on your desktop. It creates, it copies that file. It's like your own miniature copy of what's playing up there now down on your desktop that you can play at your discretion.
Oh, I see. Yeah, this isn't from YouTube. This is from a site that...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Yes. The reality is that it's clearly not you if lots of other people are having the problem. But since the forum people aren't going to solve it, you're going to have to solve it. And the way you solve it is by using VLC to download the file and then play it locally, which should avoid all the problems.
There's no other way to solve it then. And the mystery is that there are other people who are running exactly the same thing around the country because they're on the forum. They're using, Firefox 4 and MacBook.
Right.
Windows, and they're not having a problem.
But that's the nature of the Internet. They may be going through something that is fine connect-wise, and you've got a weak link somewhere in your connection.
That's what I was just going to ask you, Nick. Could it be, where he is?
Absolutely.
I mean, how I get to the site even versus you.
And it could be you go there one day and it's fine. You go there another day and it's not fine because you took two different paths.
Yeah. Right.
So by downloading it every time, it may take a while to download it, but you don't care. The second thing is you've always got it to go back to.
Thank you.
Yep.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's we see that more and more as the Internet gets
more popular,
more
crowded. The other thing to know, and I was talking with Steve, when he was one step ahead of the law, he managed to send me a coded message that said, that guy that was calling about the guitar lessons, he could also try a built-in Apple-supplied app called GarageBand, where they do actual lessons that you can download for that, and you can play them over and over as many times as you want, any time of the day.
Buy a copy of GarageBand.
Yeah. Which is bundled on all recent Macs, and then you pay a small fee to get the different lessons. They've got them for all sorts of different instruments, too.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty impressive.
Yep. Well, I say the one that I've been going to as far as just picking up the music, and I like the way I can segregate it out, is a Songster. And I can just say, all right, just play the bass part.
Ah.
So I can just hear that part.
And then
I can be download, have the music playing in the background, but I know the music. I can learn all the chords for the bass line, just the bass line.
Uh-huh.
And then I can add other instruments in there. Once I get the bass line going, I can turn off the bass part and be playing it on my own guitar, listening to the rest of the song with all the other instruments.
That's cool.
And keeping to the beat. Yeah. Oh, I love the site. And for me, I pay it by the month. It's only $10. And matter of fact, I can honestly say he took one of my hints. And implemented it, and that was to put the actual tempo of the song on there. And he goes, well, why would you want that? I go, well, I'm new. I'm just, this was one of my bucket list things.
Sure.
And I want to get back at it. And I says, I hear the metronome playing, clicking, but I don't know what speed to set it at, whether it's 80, 100, 120. He goes, that's a good point. Boom. 2 weeks later, it's on every song now. You can see at the top of the song, it's doing 4-4 beat, and it'll tell you the tempo is, say, 80 beats per minute or 120 or whatever.
Whatever it is, but it's there.
Yeah, it's there.
And by the way, for those of you who are looking to go there, it's Songster with two R's.
Yes.
If you go to Songster with one R, it's not there. So you want to go with two R's.
Yeah, and very, it's a cool site.
Yep. Which is sort of...
And it's been good for my arthritis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, it's good for my arthritis, too, for playing the banjo, but I have carpal tunnel, and
that makes it
real bad for that.
I remember, though, back when I first met you...
I made a living playing the banjo.
Well, I mean, I can remember, though, back when I first met you, back in the 80s, that you were playing, and I was like, oh, I loved it. I love the banjo. It's a cool instrument to sit there and, you know, just listen to. And
We gotta talk about it. I made a living playing the banjo. I made a living in shows, and I made a living...
dressing up in dresses.
And I have great gams. And
yes,
so
you do.
I've heard all sorts of stories.
They're all true.
I saw them.
But I also played on the streets of New York, and I played on the ferries of Staten Island.
Get out.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I made more money on the ferries than I did anywhere else. It was highly illegal. I'll tell you this story. All right, we got something on the line, but hold on.
Yeah.
I got to tell you this story.
This is more important.
I was an out-of-work actor.
Of course it is.
That's redundant, I know, in New York. And at one point, I was traveling out to Staten Island. A friend of mine owned a garage there where he put his car, and he let me put my car there. And I was going, and I had my banjo with me. I was going away for a weekend. And I took it out and started to play, and people came by and threw money in my thing. And all of a sudden, down the stairs comes this... the captain of the boat, probably going to throw me off the side. I started playing an old sea shanty. He stopped, his face lit up, he
raising
came over
eyebrow.
And sat down next to me and sang along with me.
Oh!
I played every sea shanty I could pull out of my mind.
Yeah, itself, yeah.
And we were the best people. And on the way home, he saw me getting on again. He came right down and said, "Are you going to play for us?" I said, absolutely.
Cool. You got it.
And I learned a whole bunch more sea shanties, and I went
you
back
had a
there.
Fan.
I went back there every single day and earned a fairly decent amount
now,
of money.
Now, this is like during the morning shift and the evening
morning
shift?
Morning and evening.
People going home,
coming in and going home. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. I made decent. Once I got a show, I couldn't do the evening shift, but I was always there for the morning shift.
Cool.
I made money. I made good money.
Well, good for you.
God bless the Staten Island Ferry. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, I've been to New York City a couple of times, and I enjoy the street vendors.
Oh, yeah?
You can go along there, and some of them that are playing are down the subways.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so entertaining. And some good artists. They're just young kids plucking
some
away.
Some of them really terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other of them, it's like...
yeah, good luck.
You should quit.
You need a day job.
Yeah,
right, exactly. All right.
Are they paying you to stop?
Yeah, exactly. Here's a dollar. Stop playing. Back to the phones. Our next caller, our friend Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi. I'm calling about the problem I had with the iPod Shuffle last week.
Yes. Boy, we're getting all sorts of return calls this week. Okay.
Yeah, I put it in. I reset it like you told me to.
Okay.
And all that. And now I still get playlist 1, playlist 2, playlist 3, and I've labeled them exactly what I want. What do I do now?
Remember we talked about that 5 R's setup last week?
Yeah.
So if you go to Apple's support site at support.apple.com, you can look up what are called the 5 R's, but I'll give them to you now so you don't have to do it.
Okay, because I can play this back later, So
all right,
okay,
sure.
Ahead.
So I'm going to go over to their website, and I'm going to pick iPod Shuffle.
Right.
And you've got the newest one, you said?
Yes.
Okay. So there are a couple of things you can do here. And I'm just expanding the window. Boy, this makes great radio, doesn't it?
It's okay.
Yes, it does.
So the first
imagine?
Thing,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so you...
visualize with us.
Yeah, that's right. So you make sure you're running the latest version of iTunes.
Right.
So make sure that's up to date. The first thing you do is you make sure that it's charged up.
Yes.
Which I think you've done already.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure that you're connected into the USB ports, like I'm sure you are.
Yes.
Then you can do that reset the shuffle. That's the part where you disconnect the shuffle from the computer. You move the switch on the shuffle to the off position. You wait 10 seconds. You move it back to the on position.
Uh-huh.
Then you make sure that you don't have any what they call third-party software conflicts, which I think you said you were using a Mac, right?
No, I'm using Windows.
Okay. All right. So there are some third-party software, like security and antivirus software, that prevent iTunes from recognizing your shuffle. It sounds like that part's working okay. The next step after that is to reinstall iTunes, which you can download a fresh copy.
Okay. Now, if I reinstall iTunes, will all my stuff be there?
Yes. All your music will be there, and your playlist should be, too, because those get saved in a different place.
Okay. Let me back up here. You said reinstall iTunes, but I've got $2,000 worth of stuff on there. Will that all come back?
Yes. We're talking about the application itself, not your saved music or your playlists.
Okay.
Those will all stay. You'll be just fine.
So I uninstall iTunes.
Yes.
Okay. Then reinstall it again. Is what
right.
You're telling me.
Yep. Get a fresh copy.
And I put my password and all that in, and everything should come back.
Yes, that's right. And then finally, do a quick restart on your computer.
Uh huh.
And then see if your playlists still work the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, because that is so weird. My iTouch, I don't have a problem, but the shuffle, I am.
Now, are you talking about? Are you seeing playlist one on the screen, or is this in VoiceOver?
Yeah, it's in VoiceOver. She's using the...
And you have a third-generation iPod Shuffle?
I just got it a month ago.
Is that the third generation?
Yeah.
Okay. It may be, Linda, that your iPod Shuffle is too full. There has to be room on the Shuffle to save the VoiceOver files.
Oh.
And if you don't have that space...
That's true.
You can't do it. Now, what you'll need to do is remove some files.
Right.
And you know what? Try this, because you can always put the files back.
Right.
Remove some files and then reinstall the VoiceOver files again, right? And the way you do that is plug your iPod Shuffle into iTunes, unselect enable VoiceOver. Apply that, and then select Enable VoiceOver again. So you unselect it and then select it on the iPod Shuffle.
Okay.
Got it?
Got it.
Actually, you do that in iTunes, too. You do it in both.
Okay.
All right, we got to run.
Okay,
back
bye.
In just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You should call us at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415 on member-supported Jazz 90.1 on Soundbites. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we are back. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Just like Ernesto did from Parenton, New York. Welcome, Ernesto. What's your question?
I just got a Windows 7 phone from AT&T, and I thought it would be more versatile because of the increased memory on the unit. But you have to go through a Zoom software, and it doesn't allow you to install any kind of programs. I'm a physician, and I can't even install my medical programs on this thing because they want you to go through their apps in Zoom, and
yep.
They're useless.
Yep.
I don't know why are they excluding the business community here?
Well, that's a lovely question. And what I have found is that the people who make apps make them for the most popular devices first. So you will find a plethora of apps for almost any business. In the App Store for iPhones and in the App Store for Android. And you will find a whole lot fewer of them in the Windows 7 phone store, App Store, because there are so many fewer Windows 7 phones. And Apple, or rather Microsoft, seems to be stuck on this Zune business. They've discontinued the Zune itself, but the store is still there. I don't know what to tell you, except that when you look around at the number of apps that are available, you'll find, particularly when it comes to business apps, the equivalent programs, the same program actually, is available on both the Android and the iPhone stores, and not yet, at least, in the Windows 7 store. And I can't speak to why, except for the fact that if I were a developer, I'd be developing for the most popular phones.
You're right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just a numbers game, really.
Yeah, no, because I need, like, Hippocrates. I need software from Skyscape. He's a medical a vendor. And I can't get anything now. And I'm thinking of just taking the phone back. I just got it a couple of days ago.
Well, if what you want to do is you want to talk to those vendors, the people whose programs you need, and ask them what phones they're available for.
Yeah, I can find that out. It's just that...
I mean, that's really the way to do it. That's really the way to do it. You have a specific need for specific software. Find out what it's available on first, then buy that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Yeah, the market's just so much larger.
Okay, guys.
Sorry, Ernesto. Good luck.
For those iOS devices, clearly there's, 100 million or more of those out in the marketplace, and there's only 1 or 2 million of the Windows 7, just because they haven't been...
Yeah, at the most.
They haven't been available as long.
And as I said, it isn't the number, but it's the quality of what you're looking for.
Sure.
And we're finding that in terms of business apps, the iPhone and the Android phones are fairly similar. In terms of business apps, you'll always find one that's available and one not the other. But in general, they're fairly similar. But the Windows 7 phones are nowhere near parity with the other two.
Right. Yeah. And if you love your phone and you want to tell us about your favorite app, you should call in and tell us because, everybody wants to know what you're using and why.
Yeah, because we all want to know new apps.
It's hard to figure out what's worth buying and what's not because, especially in the iOS world, there's so many apps that it's impossible to know which are the good ones and which aren't. I mean, the tools for sorting through those are not so hot.
Yeah.
So hearing about apps from friends is, one of the easiest way to hear about
Well, that's
ones.
The one thing I just started. No, I was up last night or this morning looking, because I've had the iTouch, my iTouch for a long time. Matter of fact, I'm on my second one after I found out they don't go through a washing machine very well. And
they don't.
No. Huh. They make a good aquarium when you pull them out of there.
Yeah.
First, you can see the water floating around like a wave machine. But so I've been through the iPod store. I've picked up a lot of great apps there. I've got one that I use there that's for the parking meter. So if I'm out on the road and I feed the parking meter, I can, on this app, slide the meter across for, say, an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
So at any point while I'm at my clients, I can pull this out and see how much time is on the meter so I don't wind up getting a ticket.
Nice.
So now, this morning, I started looking at some of the Android apps.
Okay.
You know what?
There's going to be a few nights that...
Yeah, then I'll be calling you at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me make an offer to you right now.
All right.
I'm part of a website called Droid Lust. And it's all kinds of news items and stories and reviews and yada, yada, yada. And would you like to review apps?
Yes.
For that site? You and I will talk offline about
that. That works for me, but yeah, you already know me, too.
I know you. You have an addictive personality, Sonny boy.
It might get a little app happy.
I get focused.
Yeah, that's a good way to put some other F word. But yes, absolutely. That would be.
What do you mean this is my second wake up call?
Exactly.
Hey, Nick!
I offered.
You did.
I can never blame
my friend.
That.
No, I will never. And that's why to this day, I can think of that story. And I can really
say... Those of you don't know this story, I have to tell you this story.
Like Dave, the other people in the studio, maybe.
Dave is an online kind of fanatic. He gets online all the time. And his wife...
My girlfriend's realizing that, too.
Yeah, his wife was very upset with him when he had a phone bill that was higher than his mortgage payment 1 month.
Almost double.
And... And so when he was able to get online with an internet service provider as opposed to the phone, I came over and helped set him up. And then he completely forgot I was there. I sat there sitting right next to him talking to him for half an hour. He didn't even know I was there. Finally, I shook him a little. He looked over at me with his glazed look in his eye. And I said, do I need to call you later? No, I'll go to bed in a little while. Are you sure? Because I'll call you like 11:30 midnight. No, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Okay. My phone rang at what, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, it was about 6.
Yeah, 6 o'clock in the morning, and you...
Can't say it over the radio. I
did. Morning, Dave. How are you? Didn't go to sleep last night, did you? No.
Oh, my butt was dragging so bad.
What's that fiery ball up in the sky?
Oh.
It was. I'm sorry, but it was hysterically funny.
Oh, it was. I sit back and laugh at it now. But see, it was great justification because going to that service, I was doing things faster. Oh, yes, I was looking up a lot more information because it literally is information.
And it was
over.
A lot cheaper than double your mortgage payment.
Heck yeah.
Every month.
Yeah, and, you know, it was just a great find. And, yeah, I just got totally sucked in, and it was a ball. Still is. I mean, I can, you know, find out. So much is out there nowadays. You know, I mean, good and bad. But, you know, doing the research and all that other stuff that, you know, you can find out.
One of my favorite apps is an app simply called Timer. And what you do is you start the app, and you can speak the amount of time you want. An hour and a half. And it immediately starts, an hour and 20 minutes, 22 minutes, whatever it is. And it immediately starts, and then it rings when it rings the standard phone ring unless you buy it, and then you can set the thing. And then you can just put it in your pocket and walk away. So I've done the same thing you have, but without having to set a meter app. I put my money in, I hit the thing, and I go, 22 minutes.
Oh, cool.
Put it in my pocket, and I'm on my way. And I do that when I start a talk as well. You know, if I'm given... Oh, how much time have I got to talk? Yeah. 40 minutes, okay.
Or just have it vibrate in your pocket.
Well, right.
Yeah.
If you buy it, you can do that. Right. Yeah. 30 minutes or 35 minutes, you know, however long I want to leave for questions.
And that's the other thing. You know, and again, this goes back to the old days, a shareware. And this is one thing we promote. You know, I mean, you folks sit there and, you know, say they give you the free app, and then there's the paid app.
Yep.
You like it so much... You know, apps usually aren't that expensive.
A couple of bucks here, a couple of bucks
there. If you go ahead and if you really like it, and this is where I'm encouraging folks, pay for the other app. It helps encourage these app developers to improve the product.
Always buy your app.
Add on to it and get you that much more.
Right. And for the most part, if you buy an app, it's not like you're going to buy version 1.0 and then have to pay again for version 2.0.
Right. You get all the free updates. Yeah.
It's yours for life. It's an amazing thing.
And that's where, again, I encourage folks, whether you know they're Android or the iPhone apps, this is getting back to shareware. And if you really enjoy it and there's one that, you know, you can buy it for a couple of bucks or even $5-6, you know, if you're going to use it and that's that important to you, I buy it. Like I've got one on my iTouch. When I was going in through for treatments, I had one for the fretboard.
Yep.
So while I'm sitting there, I could sit there and have it play the different fret keys. So I'm memorizing the whole, you know, four strings and every note on it that I could sit. And
it just plays bass, by the way, if you're wondering, four strings. It's not the ukulele, it's the bass. the ukulele.
So I can sit there, and I was just playing. And it was so cool that I paid for the other, you know, the full app. And it gave me that many more features that I could narrow it down one string and then add the second string and work my way down it. It was so cool.
Yeah, and it's well worth the
couple
again, of bucks.
And it's again, just supporting programmers. Yep. I've been there. I know what it's like. You know, if you don't get the support, it's like, why should I waste my time?
Yeah. All right, you have to give us a call. Call us, in fact, with your favorite app.
That'd be great.
For whatever phone you have, we're completely agnostic. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Tell us what your favorite app is and why, and we'll be glad to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I got to remind folks, you know, you hear us keep telling you to call us on the phone, and, you know, we've heard a few folks calling us from the car. We do offer another way to get a hold of us, and that's you can text us. And if you, on your phone, dial 585-209-9010, you can text us a question. Or if you want to know the answer or something else, you know, what was the answer on that? We'll get back to you. So, you know, if you can't get a phone or you're shy and you don't want to be, you know, be on the air, just go ahead and text us. We'll gladly put on your question and see what answer we can make up. I mean, like you said, we've been doing it for 21 years, coming up on 22.
You're old.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he is. I'm not shy about it. But, yeah, we're coming up on 22 years. And, I mean, you know, what, next weekend is 4th of July weekend.
Yep.
We will be here that Saturday to help you kick off your 4th of July weekend. But it's like the middle of the year already.
Oh, and let me apologize to everybody about Second Life last week again. The first week, we're in Second Life on Sunday nights now, 9 p.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Linden time. The Jazz first Fest week, I honestly just forgot. Last week was Father's Day, and I was having way too much fun with my family, and I never thought about it. But I will be there tomorrow night. I promise I will be there. Dave comes and goes. Yep. Steve comes and goes. I will do my best.
I'll see what I can be there. Definitely. You know, the Jazz Fest is over at all. That was phenomenal.
Well, it's the premier festival in Rochester.
Really, I mean, that is just getting bigger. As a matter of fact, they're already talking. The biggest complaint this year was they need more venues.
Yeah, they need more venues and need more room.
Yes, that's what I mean. To put these acts. I mean, I was emceeing for a number of different acts, and, you know, we got some great talent that was here, folks. And, you know, and
unbelievable people who come to Rochester to play their music. And unbelievable.
And you know what? And Jazz 90.1 was the only one that was still giving away passes.
Yep.
And tickets to some of these premier shows.
Yep.
Just another great thing, you know, a reason why you should keep listening to Jazz 90.1 24/7. Because, you know, it's, and the other thing, though, and you know, I ran into this a number. Well, I'm not big on jazz. Well, then you know what? You're missing out on one of the biggest experiences here in the city because it's just not all jazz. I mean, there are so many artists that come into this city that, you know, would blow your mind. And like I say, the biggest complaint was they just need more places to display it because they've got other acts that they'd love to come in. But when you only have a certain time frame and only so many venues, you can only put them so far in, you know, display them.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was a great time, and I thank all the folks that did stop by our tent. You know, it was great meeting the folks, and looking forward to doing it again next year.
And don't forget, give us a call with your favorite app. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415.
One other thing, if I can slip in here, a shameless plug. Rob is actually letting me now do Thursday nights.
Oh, cool.
I am now doing Thursday nights.
Rob, what is wrong with you?
You needed somebody to fill in the time slot. But I am doing Thursday nights from 6 to 9, and I encourage you folks, like you've heard me talk, you know, time after time. I'm new here at Jazz. We've only been at this station for 2 years. I'm learning. So if you would, do me a favor and email me, dave@jazz901.org, with the particular artist that you like. And if I can, on my Thursday night shows, you know, if I can find it in our library, I'd love to learn about other artists. If you were to see the CDs that we have in our library, it's mind-blowing. And, you know, I'm just, like, information overload. So if you folks can help me out by suggesting other artists, and it's in our library, I'll be more than glad to see what I can dig out. I had at least 8 people last week call me this past week with requests. And it was a ball, you know, just discovering some other artists.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so again, if you would, take the time and email me. That's dave@jazz901.org, and we'll see what we can do. And I will respond to all emails. So please do it if you can.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Hey, Nick, you do a lot of online shopping?
I do.
You do when you like to buy things.
Christmas is, for me, nothing but online shopping anymore.
It's just click, click, click. You don't even reach for your car keys anymore.
That's exactly right.
I've been doing some shopping, too, and I thought one thing we would talk about is, what are your favorite sites to get bargains?
Oh, great idea.
You were talking about Woot earlier.
I love Woot.
So for people that don't know what Woot is, can you talk just for a minute about that?
Yeah, Woot.com, Woot.com. Their motto, their slogan is one day, one deal. Every day at 1 a.m. local time there in Chicago, so it's midnight their time, they put up one item, and they sell it all day until it's gone. Often, it's a pretty good deal. Sometimes, it isn't. But you need to know that. And then they have Shirt Woot and Kids Woot and Wine Woot and all of these places where you get this deal a day, and you become a member, and it's great. And then, of course, they have the Bag-O crap, I guess I can say that. that they give away. And Dennis will talk more about other sites when we come back with a whole lot more of Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Give me half a second here as I took my headset off.
Get a rearrange.
That's right.
Yeah. Our next caller is Bear from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Bear. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear us?
I can.
Is okay. That your question?
It's not a question, but no. I have something to share with a neat little app.
Excellent.
Please.
What phone?
What's that?
Which phone? Android or...
No, it's not. It's on my Apple computer.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
All right. That works, too.
But it is so cool. It's called Sleepy Time 1.0. So it's the first time.
Okay.
And it's freeware. And what it does, I like listening to some of the talk shows that are on some other stations.
Uh-huh.
And when the sports come on and the ball games, I can't hear them as I'm going to sleep. So I found this little application, and it's called Sleepy Time. You can run it on your computer. I run it on my Apple, not on my Windows side. And what it does is it will allow you to stream whatever is in iTunes through my system, and then you can set it for how many minutes until you want it to shut down. So if I stream something in and download it into my iTunes, then I can listen to it as I'm going to sleep and say, shut my computer off after 45 minutes, and it's the best of all worlds.
Wow,
and
that's really great.
Free.
Yeah, I'm checking out the website
nice.
Now.
Very, very
you,
nice.
You can download it from their website. If you type in Sleepy Time space Mac into Google, it'll be the first hit there.
That's right, and it really, really works well. I've already sent the guy $10 because...
Good for you.
Yeah, you
good
can donate.
Good for you, Bear.
Right.
Yeah, it is just so good. So I highly recommend anybody who wants to listen to nighttime radio Sunday night when they're going to bed and the ball game's on, you just get this, and you can listen to anything you want, and it'll turn off at the end.
Yeah, I'm reading through this, and it says it'll also wake you up in the morning if you want it to be an alarm clock, too. It's got all sorts of things.
It will. I don't use it for that. But and there's a switch you can click on it that at the end of the playtime, you just tell it to shut down your computer, and the thing shuts down in the morning when I get up. It's just all perfect.
That
nice.
Sounds great. Thanks for calling.
Very okay. Cool. Thanks, Bear.
That's really great. I hope this starts to be a thing where people call in with their favorite stuff.
I love that idea. It gives us all a chance to learn more about stuff.
I had never heard about this app before.
Yeah,
that's really
no,
neat.
Me either.
Cool. So going to do another call?
Sure. Our great friend Dar from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, you're too kind, sir.
Are you in Toronto?
Oh, no, east of Toronto.
East of Toronto. Okay.
Toronto.
Is that Brooklyn, Toronto way?
Oh, who cares?
Yeah.
Okay, Android app.
Yes.
I can't find the link here. It's called Android Assistant.
Ooh.
Okay. And
utterly
what does it
amazing.
Do?
Amazing. You'll uninstall three or four other apps because this one does them plus a lot more.
Like what? Enlighten us.
Oh, it's okay. As a mechanic, this thing is a toolbox. It's a utility for Android.
Okay.
It seems to have 14 separate features.
Oh.
According to what they say, it's got it monitors your status. It's a process manager, a cache cleaner, a system cleaner to get rid of browser history, market history, Gmail history. Saves batteries, settings to save your battery.
What was in the utility?
File manager, startup manager, batch uninstaller, battery use monitor, volume control, ringer, startup time, startup silent, which turns off that droid, which I love and I don't have anymore. And it has system info. Holy mother of pearl.
What's the name of the app?
It's called Android Assistant.
Dave's making sure to write it down.
And
later.
Here's the weird thing.
Gotta check it out.
a dozen or so tech newsletters a day, and now four Android newsletters.
Yep.
And only one fellow from India or Pakistan posted this.
Well,
and you got to figure why. Why
exactly
a blackout on this beautiful Swiss knife utility?
I'm absolutely going to check it out. It looks like a really, really nifty product. It looks like it has a whole bunch of features that who wouldn't want? And it's free. Oh, and by the way, it's free.
It's my favorite price.
This is great. Thanks, Doc.
I can afford that.
Well, doesn't it make you as excited as we were when, well, learned about Revo before you guys, but when we did learn about Revo?
Yep, yep, yep.
You just got this warm feeling, and you thought, wow.
Mm-hmm.
The people who
great
designed
utility
this, you know, you want to buy them a beer.
Yeah, yep, exactly. You aren't kidding.
Okay,
you aren't
cheers
kidding. This is great. Thanks, Dar.
Thank you, sir.
Cool.
Very, like I say, that's cool what it's all about. Our listeners here, you know, especially when it comes to the apps, we can't search through all of them. So this is great when folks can call in and say, well, just check this one out. You know, it's worth looking into. It doesn't cost anything to look.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, you might find one that, you want to recommend to other people.
Right. Before we go too far, Dennis had a bunch of sites for saving money.
Oh, yeah, yep, saving money online. You know, whenever I buy something online, I look at the price that they're selling it for, and then I say, is this the best they can do? And a lot of places, you know, there's not a lot of negotiating you can do with a website. You can talk at your monitor all you want, but they're never going to come back. So the place that I go to is called RetailMeNot.com. And RetailMeNot is essentially a collection of submitted coupon codes to all sorts of different places. So things I've saved money on recently. I had to buy a replacement part for my dryer because I was fixing my own dryer. And they wanted, you know, $18 for the part. So I went over to RetailMeNot. And I generally go there. I go there as kind of a last ditch. I said, let's see what happens. The worst thing that will happen is I have to pay full price. So I go to RetailMeNot. All you have to do is fill in the name of the website that you're shopping at. And they'll come back and say, well, we don't have any coupons for that. Or they'll say, hey, we have the following two dozen different coupons. And they're rated by how recently somebody has used them successfully. So you can get a good feeling about the coupon code to realize if it's going to work for you or not. And it's a great way to save money. I've used it for buying sports equipment. I've used it for buying stuff for fixing things around the house. Just anytime you go and buy something online. So that's probably my number one recommendation. The other class of websites tend to be the here's what we found online that's a bargain that you might want to know about. And sites like fatwallet.com and one of the favorites that I do is slickdeals.net. It tends to be a little bit more tech-focused, but they're all fantastic. And I invite anybody who has a favorite deal website that they love where they've saved a bunch of money to call in and share them with us.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I also tend to look at Google Shopping.
Yeah, that's another good place to go just to get a sense of what something ought to cost or what's a reasonable price that most people tend to sell it for.
Yep.
But, yeah, if you haven't tried the RetailMeNot, that's a fantastic one. I make sure to use that just about any time I'm buying something online.
Sounds like a great deal.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All righty. Real quick, there is a scam that's been making its way around Twitter for some time that's resurfaced recently. It promises to increase a user's followers, but what it really does is gives control of your account to a questionable third party. It starts out by employing some social engineering stuff. It's a tweet that says, I will follow back if you follow me, which includes, of course, a short link. The link actually takes you to a website that offers a service which claims it can round up hundreds, even thousands of new followers to a Twitter account. Actually, there are several variations of that out there. Some want you to pay for a VIP plan, try out the free service that promises only hundreds of new followers. And what you find out is that the service requires your Twitter username and password. Yeah. You really don't want to give that to anybody. You really don't. That should instantly have you running for the hills. But it's out there. Lots of people are seeing it. A lot of people are way too keen for new followers. You know, good for you, but you pay the price.
Right.
Big
you know
time. Big
you
time.
You have to figure out, you know, there's no free lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Like, my rule of thumb has always been, if you get an email and you have to stop and think about it for even one moment, delete it.
Yeah, just nuke it.
Yep.
Just delete it. Because, you know, folks, well, I know that person. I don't care, but if you didn't request that or you have no interest on it, then why bother clicking on it?
Yep, exactly.
You're only going to get your butt in trouble. And that's just a fact of life.
Right. Oh, and those of you who are on Netflix and are worried about bandwidth, you can actually, and this has been around for a long time, go to your account in Netflix, look for the Manage Video Quality link. You can have good quality, better quality, and best quality. Good quality consumes 0.3 gigabytes per hour. Better quality burns up 0.7 gigabytes per hour. And best quality goes up to 1 gigabyte per hour for standard definition, or 2.3 gigabytes per hour for HD. And the settings apply to computers, to televisions, to everything. They've actually been doing this for a while now. They just aren't publicizing this feature.
Well, I just was watching. Funny you say that. I was just watching a couple movies, and they looked like quite pixelated.
Right, and when they're loading, they'll tell you what the quality is. In some cases, that's the only quality they have.
Okay.
And in some cases, they check your connection, and at that moment, your connection is not good, so they're downloading a little. I had one or two of those. But the other thing is, you can make it only be the lowest. So if, for example, you watch movies on your phone and you don't want to go over your data cap, you can go down to just good quality, which, frankly, on a phone is fine. So you can make those changes yourself, which is actually pretty neat. Now, you know, they don't really advertise that because the whole point is that Netflix is very high quality. But right, exactly. All right, we're done for another week, that music tells me. I definitely want to thank Dennis Worster for having ably and nobly stepped in while Steve was off avoiding the law somewhere in the Midwest. Hopefully Steve will get out of that warrant and be back here next week. The studio's not big enough, though, because of the restraining order. It's 500 feet, isn't it? We'll see what we can do about that. I want to thank Dave Enright. I'm Nick Francesco, and... you've now finished wasting 2 hours of your life listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. So now you can go forth and be productive for the rest of the day. We are Soundbites right here on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1. But don't go away, because George is here with the best German show in Rochester. See you next week.